Come On, Feel the Noise.
It's a song by Quiet Riot.
Yeah, but it's spelled like not in a good way.
Oh, see, Saturday afternoon, evening, bar hopping, your favorite.
Yep.
Around LA. Then final stop, whiskey, Quiet Riot.
Wait, how many? Okay.
So actually, he didn't give you a 0%. He gave you a 69%.
And that's how. Oh, why do you have a pumpkin spice themed iPhone?
Yeah, dude, dark mode, bro.
I have dark mode too, but it doesn't do that. Welcome back to, what did we call it?
Why Don't You Like This? The podcast about convincing your friends that you have good taste in music.
I do not have high hopes going in.
Welcome.
Do you want to know why I don't have high hopes?
In this album or in just this podcast in general?
It has something to do with it. It's not like a rocker so much.
Yep.
Like if we were doing like the Guns N' Roses.
Like Evil
live,
Empire.
You keep bringing that one up. I don't know if we're going to do it. No, I've been gone for 5 months.
Yep. You want to tell the people why?
Oh. I got to work on a movie in New York.
Okay. I thought you were going to make something up, but you actually said the real thing.
I can say it.
Okay.
And I got to do a couple things on there that I won't, it's not worth mentioning here.
Right.
And then this, is, and then you just walked in. And
but he's Hollywood people, that's the point.
Probably for the last time, I think. This was my swan song.
Coast to coast, Atlantic to Pacific and back.
The drive?
Just the lifestyle.
Oh yeah, I mean, coast to coast. Not jet setting though, driving like a basic.
Right.
You've done that drive, right?
Once from Florida to LA and never again.
That was the thing, is when I was coming back here, I was like, I already did this.
So it was worse on the way back?
Yeah.
And you weren't going to something that you were anticipating? You're like, I'm just going back to like what I'm used to.
Because the first time I was like, I'm going to live in Vu's garage or loft space.
Oh, right. So that was exciting.
Yeah. I'd never been. Well, yeah. I'd been to LA once for like a day.
Right, and you got recruited by so many things happened to you, actually.
In that day, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this time was like, I already passed this level of the video game and of the journey.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I have to do it again?
Oh, so this is when you were driving to New York?
No, this is when I was driving back from New York.
Right, okay. Because, that's what I'm saying, is when you were going to New York, that was like another thing. Like, oh, I'm going out here, anticipating this new job.
Yeah.
It's exciting, change of scenery.
And when you, it's a privilege to work in the film and
is
movie
it?
Business.
Yeah, it is. Yes. I don't know.
Put yourself in my shoes and you will say yes. But normally people don't drive.
They fly
you to and fro and all around.
Right. But you needed your car was like the logistic reason.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was sad on the way back.
You know what makes me a little bit happier is I keep getting like these Zachy Gordon bullshit things.
What?
Well, obviously the school doesn't exist anymore, but there's some like Zachy Gordon alum Facebook page.
Okay.
That it tries to keep the dream alive, and I feel like it's just kind of sad.
What are the updates?
It's just like, remember this from 3 years ago when we were on set. It's like, firstly, that ain't a set. That's just, you know, stuff like that. Or
that's
like, oh, look,
atrium.
We put a green screen up because we were pros.
I had to build a green screen. Like very quickly once. It might have been my only like film school direct real life drill.
You had to build it for at Zachy?
No.
Oh, when you in for work. Yeah. And you're like you were like grasping for Zachy knowledge to get it up.
Yep, unlock Zachy level 3.5. And I was hitting in the password over and over again.
Yeah.
And finally I got it.
Cool.
It is cool, and let me go to my
he's got his notes.
Gerber 5 for 5
stand up routine. Oh, he's been working hard, dude. He got multiple pages, multiples.
No, but this isn't a really old yellow legal pad. And this is encapsulates the 5 months that I've been away. In that,
has it been 5 months? It's
been a while.
For real?
Yeah, it's 5 months.
Wow. It didn't feel like 5 months to me, but we've kept in contact sporadically.
That wasn't me. That was my assistant.
Okay.
Texting you. I'm on the cover of the November Men's Mental Health magazine.
Congrats.
Yes, already killing.
Yeah. When you can be a winner and a loser at the same time.
It is, yeah, an ambiguous achievement. This one says, my Barack Obama meter is at threat level indigo. I was trying to get you to spit out your Stella. Not quite.
This pod sponsored by Stella.
Yeah, what's going on with you? Are you hooked on those? Because I've gotten people hooked on that.
Dude,
stuff.
I don't know what it was. Maybe your fridge is set to extra cold.
Oh, that's right.
But one time I came over, I had a Stella from your fridge, and it was the most refreshing fucking drink ever. I don't know if I was dehydrated. It was a combination of that and the fridge being super cold. And since then, I was trying to recapture that. And, so I'm here.
I was happy to provide that service. You must have just had one of them days.
Yeah.
When
you just want to break stuff.
Oh. Limp Bizkit, we can talk about that later because it's a music podcast.
Good.
And today's album is Girls by the band Girls. And the band is called, the album is called Album.
Oh, is that really the case?
Yeah.
Oh. I can see it right now. That's why it was so hard to find with Spotify.
Yeah. I'm just going to keep rolling through these. There's only two more.
Okay.
I didn't use any of the E24 or any of that food stuff when I was in New York because there was no need to.
Everything's walking distance?
No.
Oh, you learned.
I was just in suburbia. Yes, I learned how to cook.
Really? Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then, so I used one when I got back, and you know how it gives you the live updates?
Sure.
So I'm sitting
here. Your order has been picked up.
Yeah, so it goes, Jorge just arrived at California Pizza Kitchen, there's blood everywhere, and then nothing came, I just had to eat cereal.
I mean, the most disgusting part about the story is that you went to CPK.
Serves me right. So, hope Jorge's okay. Oh, shout out to Christian, who we entered the pod talking about. He's having a birthday thing today, and Christian. I guess we're doing a podcast. Sorry.
In our defense, one time I invited to hang out with him, and he said, nah, I'm playing golf by myself instead. I was like, wow, dude.
Hitting the links. Yeah. You got to get those irons out.
Right? I was like, cool. Thanks, best friend.
Happy birthday to him.
Yes, he's turning 33.
I met this guy, not like that. I just met a. There's,
I didn't assume I was that, but on now a
movie.
I did.
There's a lot of people on the movie, right?
You have a new friend?
Departments and whatever. Yep. He said his name was. He introduced himself as Joel. I said, that's a great name. What is that short for? He said, Angel.
Oh, God.
So the album, Girls.
Yeah.
Did you listen to it?
I did. Multiples.
No, that's not possible.
Why?
I've caught a lot of people lying to me over the past,
I see.
5 months. I don't know what that says about
your
me.
Parents. But,
just whoever you are, I guess. Yeah. Just lying. But didn't you ask me yesterday? You were like, yo, what the album at?
Well, here's the thing. Is I listened to it way back
because we didn't know I was going to.
And I was like, yo, meet up this Saturday. And then you just FaceTimed me on the road.
That didn't happen. No, I told everyone. I was really excited. I told everyone right away.
Right.
I went to Twitter. I went to the gram. Yep. I went to Raya. I used the Raya app to get it out.
Bumble.
I bumbled it.
Yep.
I'm still locked out of my Grindr, but that would have gone live there too.
Fair.
You're going to try and set me up with somebody?
Yeah.
Right, which I already knew, and you thought like,
well, what's fucked up is you actually saw this person before, and they don't remember you. But they don't remember.
I probably don't remember. I'm bad.
Yeah, I was about to say. Like it was when we had our one show as Kodiak Jack Steakhouse at Danny's Bar, Kodiak and she was there.
Okay. Yeah. So, doesn't that already count as a pass for her?
But she doesn't remember you, and you know you. I feel like you don't remember her.
Is that because I played my guitar with my back to the audience the entire time? And
yeah.
And got in a fight
with
the
comedian. Tickle strings didn't like stick with her, that's a problem, right?
Big time, yeah.
Yeah. She would have remembered it damn, that guy can play.
Yeah. If you see a guy, let's break this open. If you see a guy playing guitar,
right.
And that's like a purple flag.
Mm-hmm.
It transcends red flag.
Yeah.
Great stuff. I'm looking forward to that.
But yeah, all she knows is that you're white and tall, and she's all about it.
There's so many things wrong with that. in 2019.
Yeah.
You got plans for 2020?
Nope. What do you got for me?
Nothing. At all.
Okay.
So that's exciting.
Yeah, so I listened to the album way back when, 5 months ago, I guess.
And then you needed a refresher.
Yeah, thing. And then you left, and I was like, wow, what the fuck? Just abandoned all of us.
I guess. But you said it didn't seem like 5 months.
It didn't. If I had to guess before you told me, I would have said three.
I came back to my adoptive town of Los Angeles. Homeless problem, not as bad as I was expecting.
You do live in a nice borough town.
For now.
Yeah, you're in a bubble.
They're raising rents around here. They're taking our jobs.
Okay.
The little French restaurant down the street, gone.
Yeah.
Why rent too damn high?
Damn.
What would happen to me? Just my unit in this little apartment thing? All right, let's get to this Elb.
Yeah, so anyways, after you left, I was like, well, if he's going to be gone, then fuck him. And then I just forgot everything album related. So then when you're like, hey, I'm making my return, I was like, oh shit, we need some refresher. It's been a while.
Been a while.
And then I forgot everything. I forgot what even the band was called. And that's why I jokingly texted you Girl Talk.
You're close.
And I feel like you were pretty frisky. New York made you frisky.
Really?
At least that was my interpretation of our text conversations. Like, Gerber is amped over there. Happening.
I must have not been amped before I left, and that's what you're comparing it to, but I didn't notice, maybe, perhaps.
Okay, so you over there was like status quo, and you here
I felt
is,
like
is
over
like
there
6 feet underground.
I felt like both was 6 feet underground.
Okay.
I don't even know what that means, really.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay, so when you first listened to the album way back then, oh wait, hang on, I'm getting a thing. It says, I didn't see the Joker.
Oh, yeah. I'm really shocked by that, honestly.
I just, you know what? I was on board, right?
Yeah.
I jumped on the train.
I feel like you saw that trailer and then you were like, holy shit. Cannot
wait.
Oh, my
God. We need to talk about Once Upon a Time Inside
Hollywood. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I got a lot of people to go see that, and a lot of them were like, okay.
It's weird that while I was watching the movie, especially the end, I was thinking about you.
Aw.
Not in a good way.
Why don't you like this music podcast? Okay, go.
It was like, what is happening?
Were you going to see it before my
endorsement? Yes, of course. Tarantino transcends my friend's recommendations.
I've never been... I just wanted to go see a movie.
Oh, so you were just nonchalantly, were like, it's either this or Call Me By Your Name. Yeah. Okay, so you see it on a whim. You're just like, whatever.
I was... on the film that I worked on, I had two jobs, and one I've never performed. Well, both
Neither.
Of them I had never done before. And one was just kind of temporary. And when I finished that, that was the most challenging one, though, for me personally, because I'm a shy guy. And when I finished it, I was like, I want to celebrate. I'm going to go to, I want to see like a big movie from an auteur director. And this is the one, Once Upon a Time in
Hollywood. Oh, you saw it in New York?
Yeah.
Oh.
It came out at the end of July, silly buns.
So every correspondence we had over this movie was through text?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay, sorry, go ahead. So I see what you're saying. Sorry, for some reason I thought we had, you know...
But why would it matter if we did?
I just for some reason I'm having a vision of we were like in a dudes and diners getting dinner situation.
You continued that with Extron, but not me.
No. I never had dinner with him.
Doesn't matter. Going to cut it out.
Okay.
So I wanted to go see a movie. I didn't really know anything about it other than it was going to be long and it was going to be Brad.
How do you not know anything about it?
Like, I didn't, like, devour...
You know who Charles Manson is?
The musician?
Yeah.
I didn't devour, like, the three different trailers that were probably out. I didn't watch Leo on Ellen where he promotes a clip that's edited.
You weren't fanboying, like, can't wait to see this.
Yeah, but... Okay, I did think it was going to have a lot more energy to it. It starts off the first 20 minutes, let's say, okay?
Yeah.
You're looking at me like you don't remember.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't remember the first 20 minutes.
It probably wasn't necessary.
It was low energy.
Yeah.
And then they don't even give Bradley Pitt anything to really do at first.
What is the first 20 minutes?
It's the footage of him working, and then it ends, like he's filming a movie, a Western or whatever. And right. then it ends with the interview of both of them.
Oh, yeah.
And he's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm the stuntman, huh? Yeah. And then it's just sort of that. And then Al Pacino comes to the restaurant that they're eating.
Right. And it's like a 15-minute scene.
Yeah. And I was like, fuck, this is kind of slow.
Just chewing up that.
And there was no one in my theater, really. There was like 10
just
people.
Just how you like it.
Yeah, but this was opening night.
What?
Yeah. And
Buffalo is bumping.
And I'm like, they're not giving Brad Pitt that much to do. This is kind of weird. And then it just did this slow, methodical thing where I was liking it without even realizing I was liking
it. Yeah, where
it.
They like literally show them getting into cars every
I could watch
time.
Him drive around 1960s LA. I could watch a whole movie of
that.
Spoiler,
it's actually modern day.
Did you see how they rigged the car
yes.
with the camera? That's cool.
It was cool.
Cool stuff.
You okay. didn't think it was too long?
No.
You didn't think Sharon Tate
no.
going to
I'll
the
I'll
movie
explain.
Theater for 30 minutes and watching her shit?
Lovely. Did you think it was weird that she was watching the real Sharon Tate? I didn't. I didn't
no.
get me out of it.
No, I didn't think that was
okay.
weird. That happens all the time where...
Oh, it happened in the Adjustment Bureau with Matt Damon.
Yeah. Was that movie good?
Yes. I love that I just confused you. I don't. I saw it in theaters, and a guy yelled adjustments. So that was,
dude. Nice. I just got like four movies so confused. It was Adjustment Bureau, The Accountant, and like Repo Man. Like all just melded into one movie.
Anyways, okay. So here's what I liked about. I'm watching the movie.
Yep.
I'm like, okay, this is long. Where is any of this going? Oh yeah, it's going to. The murder at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see it happen because he's such a detailed director. I don't want to see this play out.
I thought you liked that kind of stuff.
I'm scared. What, details? Yeah, but not...
No, like serial killers.
No.
You read John Douglas's Mindhunter from front to back.
It's right up there. Yeah. Signed copy.
Let's not pretend you look for the deep cuts.
No, I didn't want to see it play out on screen, so I was
sure.
like, oh.
And then, spoiler.
And yeah, we are going to spoil the movie. I'm going to spoil the movie
yep.
because I need to talk about my love for it. So, and then people started walking out of my theater.
Really? Mid-movie?
Like, yeah, they were like, boring.
Wow. Buffalo. And Bill's Mafia like, does not fuck around.
Yeah, I'm like, they got to hang on. Because something, this is all going to be worth it, I
yeah.
think. So then, okay, so the Manson murder kids... pull up to the house mm-hmm. and Leo DiCap comes out and yells at them.
He's like, get the fuck out of here.
Great
noise complaint. Yeah.
yeah. That would be me. I love violent noise
yeah,
complaints.
You do.
So I identified
you
with that.
You leave notes and everything, passive aggressively.
Yeah. And then they drive back down and then they have their little rah-rah.
Right.
Like, let's, they
we're
going
to do this
up.
Or not do this. And then they decide to do it.
And then, yeah. And then they're like, they go, let's hit that asshole's house first and kill them.
Right.
Then
he
go,
yelled at us.
Yeah. And he raised his voice and he made us leave even though we're murderers.
Right.
So I was like, no, I don't want to see them die.
Them
I've
referring
hanging,
to Leo and
yeah,
Brad?
I've been hanging out with Leonardo and Bradley for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
I don't want to see
they're
them die.
Buds.
Then I got to go watch the awfulness of what
right.
happened to that woman. And, yeah. and then that's not what happened.
And then Brad and Leo is like, don't worry, buddy. We got you.
Yeah. And the... and. But there's that standoff because Bradley Pittler's character's high on the magic
right, the cigarette
doobie thing.
Yep, he's got his dog,
and the dog's not doing anything. And I was
but
like,
is...
"What is going on?" And it was so tense.
Right.
And then once everything broke open, and it was this revisionist history,
mm-hmm.
I was secretly emotional inside. Yeah.
Okay, I guess if you think about like why he spent 10 minutes on showing his dog getting dog food. An hour ago, right?
Yeah.
In the trailer, and you're like, this is fucking boring. And then he mm-hmm. plays it out again. I guess that is a payoff, you know, the mundaneness of all that, becoming something else.
Everything paid off for me in a big bukkake shower.
Wait, and here's the urban legend that I thought you had said is that you cried during the
oh,
end.
That's the urban. I wanted to.
The urban legend that before I saw the movie was like, I cried at the end. And I was like, holy shit. So
you bought Fandango pre-sale.
Yeah, my bar was fucking through the roof. I'm sitting there,
yeah.
and I'm seeing it unfold, and I can't even focus because all I'm thinking about is like, this motherfucker cried for this?
So, because I was thinking, okay, it's kind of like when I saw Fight Club, right? And I figured
out
all
the
layers. No.
Oh, okay.
I figured out all the layers of it, though. Or not figured out, but whatever. Realized all of them.
Yeah, because you're a smart guy.
Yeah. So I go, oh, you can, a thing like can have pathos and you can introduce like psychology while still telling a badass narrative story.
Okay.
And you can learn things about yourself.
Is that what happened to you?
Yeah.
So what did you learn when he threw a can of dog food at a girl and then beat her head in on a fucking fireplace mantle?
No, that part, I don't really need to see that stuff again.
Yeah, you're like, I can relate.
That was brutally violent, and I know it was over the top.
Right.
But I was like, oh, QT is so fucking pissed that this happened to to Sharon Tate.
Right.
This is his love letter to her and her family.
Yeah.
And I didn't know a movie could make a revisionist history that could make you like feel better about what a horrible situation and all the things that happened to her.
Yeah. I mean, here's a question. Like, I agree with you that the ending, last 10 minutes, incredible, amazing. My jaw was dropped. I was not expecting it.
Jay was deed?
Yeah, I was not smart enough to see the revisionist history thing unfold. But is the first 2 hours and 20 minutes worth it to get to that?
Well, how else do you get there, though?
That's true, because if you just go straight to that, it doesn't mean as much because you didn't have to slog through all this other shit.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, yeah, I could starve and then eat a fucking Wagyu steak and it'd be more delicious, but am I going to do that?
You're always bringing it back to food, and that's what I love about you. And I was just really sucked into, without me knowing, I was sucked into the 1968 world. I know it's 69, but I don't want to say 69 because you already made a 69 joke
percent
text when we first started this up.
Yeah.
But I was just blown away, and I didn't even know I was getting blown. And that's the best kind.
That is the best kind. I mean, I guess for me, the best part, I was like, damn, when he made that guy change his tire, was like, holy shit,
yeah,
dude.
You did text me
I need this in my life. Like, I want to have the confidence and physical ability to make another grown-ass man change my tire on demand, no questions asked.
Yeah.
And he did it, dude. That was some badass shit.
Yeah, he finally did give Bradley Pittler stuff to do with the Bruce Lee scene.
Which people were up in arms about, but I didn't find it that offensive.
Right. But that was, how long was that into the movie? Like 45 minutes or an hour? And I was like, oh, something's actually happening. Okay.
And isn't the rumor that he actually is, like Bruce Lee actually is kind of a D-bag? Not a D-bag, but he had an ego about him.
I don't take a deep dive into that stuff, but I know a lot of his daughter's mad and a lot of people.
Right, because he's portrayed as like kind of an asshole.
Yeah.
But I heard he's kind of an asshole. So,
I don't know nothing about that.
All right.
Which brings us to the Joker.
Well, yeah, I mean, we can't even talk about it because you haven't seen
man,
it.
Hey, man, I am watching the Joker.
Do you want us to go see it?
Yeah.
Do you even care?
Yeah. Oh, well, I was saying, I was on the train. I was on the J train because all the hype.
Is that a metaphor for something else?
No.
Okay.
And then I read a review that said it's just there's a lot of scenes that are repetitive, and it's like, okay, we get it. We get that he's a crazy Joker.
No, I wouldn't say that. I don't think there's anything that's repetitive.
But then since it's come out, I just keep reading how I have to go see it. So I think I have to go see it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're on that J train as well?
I liked it, but I wouldn't see it again.
Liked it, love it, don't gotta have it?
Right.
What's your catchphrase?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, it was good. Joaquin's amazing.
Yeah.
Great performance, great interpretation of a comic book, different angle, very grounded. I'm all about that shit. That's why Dark Knight's good. You know, that's why Batman Begins is good. This takes it to another level of groundedness. Pretty disturbing in a lot of ways, in a good way, because that's obviously the character. And
more violent than the last 10 minutes of Once Upon a Time?
No.
Okay.
I would not say that. But it's like, okay. I don't need to see, like, Joker 2. You don't need to complete, like, the canon universe and, like, have the Justice League jerk-off version of this universe. It just doesn't need to happen.
Are they going to want to make a 2?
Other than it made a shitload of money, without spoiling it for you, they insinuate that the universe is bigger.
Oh, okay.
Multiple times, and it feels like a studio thing, Like Todd Phillips was doing his thing, and they're like, you know, if you could just add this one little thing, just tease it and please it. And he's like, all right, fine.
Warner Brothers has a tease it and please it.
Executive. <in place. laughs> There's one guy in a suit that's in charge of teasing and pleasing.
His name's Dylan. He just comes down.
Yeah, he's like a 24-year-old, you know, Harvard grad.
Yeah. I like that. Character.
Majored in film theory. Really knows about a lot about teasing and pleasing.
Yep. Well, that's a great summer.
Yes.
All right, so should I talk about why I picked this album?
Yeah.
Is that what we do on here?
I guess the question is, who hurt you?
Ooh. I get asked this a lot.
Who's Lauren Marie? Why did she hurt you so bad?
I don't know. I looked at the track list, confirmed, yes, track 9, Lauren Marie.
Mm-hmm. See, I know my shit.
Okay, so did you read about the guy, the band?
I don't know anything about the band.
The band is basically two guys.
Do they both sing? Because that was a little confusing.
It I don't think it's different.
It's one guy singing?
I think it's one
guy.
And that one guy used to be in a cult. He grew up in a cult. Children of God, I think
Christianity?
It's called.
Oh.
And then he defected from the cult and moved to San Francisco and somehow was able to write really catchy send-ups of the Beach Boys. The Beach Boys, and his voice sounds like Elvis Costello.
No, no. It's, the correct answer is Randy Newman.
Randy Newman from Toy Story?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, I see that. But the lyrics
are
Gonna Get Ya. If you think you're going to get Randy Newman lyrics.
Debatable, but okay.
So that's kind of what, I don't know, whatever. I'm just going to play a...
Give me, Dylan them. Ooh.
I want to do like a voice for Executive Dylan, but I just don't have the energy right now.
Okay.
It's been a long week. I drove cross cunt. Agree.
Is he gay?
We don't know. Because... You were asking about the album's called, no, they're called Girls. The album is just called Album.
But it's two guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
And half the track names are like women's names.
Oh, actually, I thought the track names were the most interesting thing about the album.
Yeah,
there's
good
a lot
track
of
names.
Cool, like, isn't there like a Hell Riot song or something?
Hell Riot Race.
Yeah, there's a God Motherfucker song or something like that.
Big Bad Mean Motherfucker.
Yeah,
that's track 5.
Yeah, yep. But it's not, it's nothing, it doesn't sound like anything like the name of the song.
Okay, yeah. True.
Yeah, this is Beach Boys featuring Eric Clapton's lyrics covered by Randy Newman.
Man, Boo's breakdown of this band, which isn't a band, by the way, anymore.
They broke up?
Yeah. They did this, then an EP, and then I think another full-length album. And then broke up.
And they called it a day.
And still use the motif of girl names for a lot of the track names.
Right.
So I think Girls hurt him, and he named the songs after them, maybe?
Yeah, that's fair. That's definitely the thematic overtone of the whole, of this album, at least.
Yeah, that might be a little bit too linear of an assessment, but...
Well, I mean, that's one thing I like about the album, is at least it has, like, an overall theme. I give all your albums a lot of shit for not doing that. But this one actually does it pretty well.
Okay.
Like, it all feels like it's all part of the same album by the same band.
Okay. Good. I guess. But when you put this one on, you think, where are you, at the gym again?
No. Me? Here's what. You throw on this song. You're on the PCH. Top down. You got your sunnies on. Gary's in the passenger seat with his sunnies on.
Okay, so I'm driving with your cat?
Yeah.
Right. That has happened before.
And y'all going to Arby's.
Bringing him to the vet.
Yeah.
No, you're speaking hypothetically. Yes, that is a PCH song, but also kind of like a dark-ass PCH song.
Right, which is kind of the vibe of all the songs. It's like this...
Happy music.
Yeah, it's this summer beach fluff covering up these deep, or I don't know, like emotional lyrics.
Kind of like the Joker.
Sure.
No, you caught me on that one, and you're right.
But why did you pick this album?
Because
I'm a little surprised you like this music.
To speak to your like the that there is a theme to it.
Yes.
And It's a song. It's an album I can just put on and listen to like every
vacuum?
Song. In a vacuum?
And vacuum.
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. I'm not opposed to vacuuming. And I wish I had a better answer for you. I just like every song. I like the surf guitar.
It's like candy for your ears?
Sure.
Oh, it's not.
I like I relate to what this guy kind of is going through or went through.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I just feel like since you're such a Tool head.
Oh my God, we didn't talk about
yeah.
Tool.
I can't believe we've gone this far without you not talking about Tool.
Holy
well,
balls.
That's what was confusing me when I was jokingly texting you and like, what album are we going to review? And I gave you the dot, dot, dots. Yeah. I thought because it was a rhetorical question because we had to do a Tool watch party or pod party.
A listen bang.
Listen bang because you just couldn't help yourself. And then you didn't even mention it. But here we are. Did you like Tool?
Yeah.
Oh, a lot.
But I didn't like the lead single.
Okay.
I shut it off if you don't want Tool spoilers or if...
Or Tool. Yeah, if you're the lead singer of Tool, you're going to think this is really fucking
annoying. No. He needs to hear this.
Oh, okay.
He needs to hear this. Yeah. Because I don't like something he did recently.
Okay.
So, okay, new Tool comes out at the end of August.
What's it called 13
years wait. Fear Inoculum. Yeah, like 3 weeks before the album came out, they released one single, the title track. I did not like it.
Wasn't that the same thing with Circle, Perfect Circle, that they released a single and you didn't like that, and then you like couldn't stop jizzing over the album?
They released a few singles before the album.
You were like kind of disappointed by them, no?
I did not expect it to sound like that.
Yeah.
But I quickly was turned around.
Right.
This one was the first Tool in 13 years, so I listened to it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Because that's what you have to do with their stuff in order for it to click.
Okay.
Because they're like a Tarantino movie. Food visually upset. 35 minutes in. So I just think it sounds like they cut and pasted different parts together.
Oh, really?
Instead of like a thing that flows and earns its moments.
Interesting. Isn't the song also super long?
They're all super long.
Yeah.
There's maybe, nine tracks on, eight or nine.
Yeah, so from the Tool interwebs, I heard that was a big problem for people.
Not for this guy.
Not for this guy.
The shortest song is maybe like 10.5 minutes or something.
Yeah, and there I heard like another complaint was like, oh, if you don't like this song, you're not going to like any of the songs, so they're all like the same.
Well,
in terms of like style, which was different than the other Tool stuff.
The style is a little different. It's more of all the songs are longer and more like plotting and searching and slower kind of. But they still, if you stick with it, you will be rocked. But he does something else in the song. In that lead single, he takes a lot of different approaches lyrically. Like the lyrical delivery, like the way he's singing.
Okay.
And yeah, people were mad online saying he's using his Perfect Circle voice. He's using a softer pitch.
Weren't they criticizing him earlier in his career, like for rapping or like?
On the last Perfect Circle? Yeah, there was a small group who thought he rapped on one song, but that, who cares?
Right.
So who cares about any of this? Just the look I just got from you. But he does a thing where he's changing up all his like vocal deliveries throughout this 10-minute track or whatever. But he does one thing where
slog.
He's like whisper chanting and just it makes me cringe every time.
Like
I
Ying
do
Yang
not
Twins.
Like it. Yes. I wish I knew an example so that I could confirm or deny.
Right.
But most people loved it.
But you did not.
No.
And this was from the single. So right off the bat, you're like, if everything's like this, I'm in trouble. Oh, SpaghettiOs.
I didn't go into an Oh, SpaghettiOs. I think my Barack Obama meter was not at threat level Indigo.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I knew that they had two songs that they'd been playing live for a while.
Right.
Which I tried to get you to like. And
futile.
And you said, you were like, you're a fan ruining it for the fans. That's what they do.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
I knew that those studio versions were coming up. And now, since the album's been out, I'm slowly liking that first song. Slowly, okay, within the context of the rest of the songs.
But it's not your favorite relative to the other songs on the album.
No, and the one part still makes me cringe.
The whispering part.
Yeah.
Whisper chants.
Yeah. But then the next song starts, and that's probably my favorite one on there. And I've been learning some of the guitar parts, and that's been very fulfilling. Can't wait to play them with my back turned. You got it. And it's a great album. It was worth the 13-year wait.
How long do you think you're going to have to wait again for the next one? 20?
Yeah.
You think they're done?
They could be done.
Damn.
Because what they did at the last track of the album,
yeah,
15-minute, just blow out. Like, here's every fucking riff. Every drum shit. Fill.
Like, we're going to play everything we possibly can because this is it.
Yeah.
Damn.
One of the other things is Maynard really isn't on the album a lot.
Is there a lot of instrumentals?
Well, no. It's just the songs are so long,
yeah,
that he's only singing for a third of
percentage
the song.
Percentage-wise, he's actually not on it that much relative to how long the songs are.
Yeah, so people are mad about that, too. I think it's all fucking awesome. It's all great. You just have to listen to it enough to notice everything.
Are they touring?
Yeah. Okay, so that leads me to the thing I don't like he did.
The whispering?
I don't like he did. I didn't watch they are playing that track live, but I didn't watch it.
Watch what?
The live version of them playing that.
Oh.
But at the Aftershock Festival, this is like 2 weeks ago.
Aftershock Festival.
Yeah, the
one. Sounds like something Christian tried to get me to go to.
He tries to, yeah.
Well, who was headlining? Korn?
One of the nights, probably, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you're not. You guessed, and you're right. Anyways.
The other one was
Coheed and Cambria. Linkin Park. I think. Linkin Park, too soon. Because Chester.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my God, he doesn't know about Chester. Anyways, okay, so Tool plays. They play the song, the last song they play of the set.
Is the 15-minute song?
It's like a 12-minute song. He does his vocal part, and then there's like 70 more seconds of music. He does his vocal part,
mm-hmm,
and he fucking walks off the stage. Like jumps down from his riser, like collects his things, his personal effects.
Yeah.
Jumps down off the riser and like waves and like gives a thumbs up to the crowd.
Right.
But he's doing it over this. The album's full of all these emotional payoffs within, which is the theme of today's cast.
Emotional payoffs?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so it's this big cathartic moment within the song that he's just making about him leaving now. And the fucking song's lyrics are about how everyone's connected and no one has an ego and we're all the same. We're all made of stardust.
You're saying it's egotistical of him to make it about him not giving a shit about you.
I know he's got to drink wine or whatever, but you can't do 70 seconds.
Well, do you think part of that is like, that's the 30th fucking time he has to do that? So.
No, this is a brand new song. It's the first time they performed it live.
Oh, okay.
Right. First timer.
Well, just touring in general, I guess. He's toured a lot. He's played a lot of live music. He's probably a tired guy.
I'm tired of him.
What should he have done? Like, kneeled and prayed?
Nope. No, he should have just stayed there and enjoyed this big last part of the song where they play the big riff one more time, and then Adam Jones on the guitar does a really sweet melodic part over that.
Yeah.
Because it's like the song's ending.
He's breaking the fourth wall a little bit by like getting logistical and be like, oh, I need to clean up and get my stuff because the bus is going to leave in an hour and I need to take a shower first.
And,
yeah. Yeah, okay.
He's like, where's my notes and my hoodie and my 8 Mile trail? Whatever he has.
Right.
I mean, he's one of my heroes, but I just thought, I didn't like that when I saw it. It just seemed like made it about him.
So now you're going to boycott him? Boycott the live music? You're not going to go see him live?
The reason I haven't gone to see him live, one, is because I've been like, I just missed them doing this two shows here at the Staples Center, and now they're back east, I think. So
they're
like,
purposely avoiding you.
They're purposely avoiding me. but they also are doing basically the same exact set list every single night.
So why is that bad if you haven't even seen them once?
Because they're only doing a couple new songs. I also just don't need to go to concerts. I have Asperger's.
Okay. That's why you hit up the VIP. You do it right.
Is that true?
Yeah, dude. I can't. That's how you got to do it, man. I don't need anyone touching me.
What have you done that for other than whiskey?
Music festivals. Like when I went to Governor's Ball.
Okay.
I was like, I paid extra for the VIP. I had all the space. No lines for bathrooms. No lines for food.
So tell me exactly, like you show up, you park, and then you go to a special area?
You don't park. I was visiting New York.
They fly you in.
So I Ubered to the festival, right? Okay. Then they essentially have...
Thanks for the invite. I love New York City. I think I've been there.
And, they have gated off areas just for people that have VIP. You're essentially paying extra money to deal with less people. It's like going to Gelson's versus Costco.
Okay. Yeah, love me some Gelson's.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's way more expensive. So you don't do... I haven't been to a music festival probably since then. I don't know. In a while.
But I would just wait for him to come out on YouTube.
And like then, Palladium? Have you been to that venue?
No, I drove past it a lot on my way to Arby's. You got it.
Yep, Arby's is right by there. But Palladium is not a great venue. It's old, and they overbook. And if you are in general admission, you are fucking squished like a sardine in front of people.
Boy.
So you got to pay extra. You go on the balcony. You get your own seat. It is worth it.
Balcony. Okay. I was tempted to go to one of I think Nine Inch Nails did 3 nights there last.
At Palladium?
I think so.
Damn, they're way bigger than that.
But I mean, that intimacy.
I guess, but they were doing Hollywood Bowl.
They can do whatever that they want.
I mean, yeah. They could just play in your backyard right now, but they're not gonna.
Turn it down!
Yeah, you know it's gonna play Gerber on fucking Nine Inch Nails.
NCG.
Yeah, you leave a note on their tour bus, like, if I fucking hear you guys again.
I forgive him by now, though. I can listen to the... Oh, you want to work out? Listen to that...
To Tool's album?
Yeah.
No way, dude. Is it that... Does it go that hard?
Because it gives you strength and also serenity.
Because I listened to Enema, do they go harder than that? Because Enema didn't seem that hard.
There are heavy parts.
Yeah.
But there's softness in between everything.
Right, so what do you do then? Is that your cool down?
Yeah, there is
one
song...
stretching?
Yeah, there's one song called Calling Voices towards the end where it's 10 minutes long. The last 5 minutes are just this a couple tasty riffs, huge banger slapsticks. And then, but the first part, it sounds almost like a piano.
That's when you're stretching your hamstrings.
Yeah, and like Elektra before her, remember her montage of like stabbing those beanbag things?
Right. But then if you lose track, you're like, oh shit, and then you start deadlifting real quick to catch up.
I'm just glad that we got something out of the Elektra movie. Which is that
shout
reference.
Out Jennifer Garner.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes. So you liked it, loved it, of course. There was no doubt that you were going to love the Tool album. They could have just been doing whatever. You would have found some meaning out of it. At this point.
Yeah, probably.
Like, if they had just recorded them, bullshitting.
I started drinking towards the end of my stay in New York.
Okay,
and then
sounds healthy.
One night I put on, after the Sabres game, fantastic game.
3-1 Sabres, let's go.
It was like 7-2.
Yeah, fucking rocking them.
I was texting you. I get real crazy. I get real lit on the group text.
Real frisky.
Yeah, I like to bombard you guys with whatever I got. Which is usually blurry photos of whatever's around me.
Is that a Dunkin'?
And because of the 3-hour time difference, you guys are trying to work still.
Yeah. You guys aren't off yet? It's 3 o'clock here, motherfucker.
Where are you guys?
When are the Sabres in town?
We missed them.
Oh.
I thought you and Christian were going to go.
Also, why would we go to a Sabres game?
To support me.
No, never.
Fair enough.
They're also avoiding you.
Yeah.
And they only come once?
Yep.
Damn.
And that's the game I usually go to here.
Well, good thing Lightning are your backup, so we'll just check them out.
All right, we're getting a little, because I want to ask you about them, but then it turns into a hockey podcast.
Sorry.
And then we got way...
off track.
Yeah. We got way away from this album.
Yeah.
I don't really know what to say
about. Are we going T by T? How do you want to do this?
Do we need to?
It's up to you, man.
Well, did you have a favorite? Did you have a standout?
The Motherfucker song was probably the best because it was the most dynamic. It starts with like a rift or a synth kind of distortion. You'll hear it. Yeah, whatever this is.
So this is when you were at Crunch and you jumped on the elliptical?
How dare you assume that I go to Crunch? It's offensive.
You know what? I don't really like this song.
But then it turns into some kind of Beach Boys weirdness. I was like, okay. Oh.
I'm surprised your whole, like, oeuvre of your phone isn't just all, like, weird electrical music.
Because that's what I always point out, is how I want it to be dynamic.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's what hip-hop music is to me. It feels dynamic.
That's a good... We can talk about that. Because apparently... There's a song called Old Town Road.
Hell yeah.
And you get a big rubbery one for this song?
I mean, no. But I get why it's famous and popular.
Okay, so did you read that they just sampled the Nine Inch Nails?
Who?
I guess in that song, apparently.
They did?
Apparently.
Oh.
And then somebody brought up to Trent Reznor, and he...
He's not happy about it?
He was like, I'm not stoked, like it should have been cleared or whatever.
Yeah.
And then... they were like, oh, okay, do you want us to sue? And he was no, just...
You're saying Old Town Road samples Nine Inch Nails?
Yeah, I haven't heard
Holy
the song.
Holy shit. I mean, I'll look into it, but I don't get that at all from listening to the song.
Wait, is it a... It's a country song,
It's a
right?
country, like, trap song. It's a country pop trap song.
That description alone makes me want to...
Not listen to it.
But whatever they sampled wasn't like a big single from the 90s. It was from one of his instrumental only albums.
I mean, I would give credit to the rapper if he actually had the library to be like, I'm going to grab that Nine Inch Nails song that I liked. That's kind of cool.
You mean the clout?
Sure. Like, if Lil Nas X was like, I love Nine Inch Nails, I love this Nine Inch Nails song, I'm going to...
If he had the street cred?
Yeah, I'm going to grab this part that I like and put it in Old Town Road.
Well, he had the street cred to work with Billy Ray Cyrus.
Yeah, dude.
So that ipso facto...
That's what I'm saying. He's all over the place. He's from coast to coast like you, man. Yeah, he's playing at his Stagecoach.
Oh, is he going to walk off with the 70 seconds left in the last song? Make it all about him? Because that's cool.
Yeah, and he's also gay. He's breaking barriers, man.
He's also gay. My standout would, I guess, be... I like a lot of songs on here, but the next song...
Here's the question I have, and I feel like I've made this criticism before.
The big question with Michael Vu.
But you're always... See, what you say about me and the dynamic bullshit, I'm going to flip it, hit it, and reverse it on you, because you always give me shit for my choices, because you're like, these lyrics aren't really that dynamic, these lyrics aren't that deep, they're kind of, everything's simplistic, and then that's how you shit on my stuff. This album isn't exactly using the whole dichotomy of the English language. I don't even know if I use that word right.
I'm not really listening to what you're saying, but as a writer.
But you see, yeah. They sat down, and it's just like a lot of repetitive, kind of the sameness.
I'm going to go back to what I go back to every time, which is the inherent problem with this podcast. We don't listen to it enough to give it a fair shake.
You're saying from both sides.
Yeah, both of our criticisms are usually just like... So pedestrian. Like, that's the first things you would grab at if you wanted to criticize something. It all sounds the same.
No, but actually, I'm saying I'm giving it props for that, because I like that it feels like an enclosed album. But I'm saying you, because you love Tool so much, and you love them so much, because everything all the lyrics mean something on so many fucking levels that, a non-Tool fan can't even comprehend how smart this sounds.
You guys can't contemplate the moves I'm
making. Right. But then you show me this, which you say you also love, and it's like, this is nothing like the other shit you're defending in terms of...
Well, yeah, but not everything can be like Tool. And also, I've grown way out of that.
Okay.
I used to be really like, what do the lyrics mean?
Right.
Well, how can they help me?
Sometimes you just need ear candy.
Yeah.
Okay, if that was your defense for this, I would understand that.
There's way too much music out there. There's way too much great music that can be fluff stuff.
Okay.
I'm going to start a podcast called Fluff Stuff. And my shout out to Chris Cornell, RIP.
Yes.
I'm pointing up towards the ceiling. He has lyrics that are pretty I mean, they're poetic, but I don't know if they mean anything ever.
Right. Nirvana didn't even know what the shit they were saying meant.
Yeah.
So
I learned one of their songs today. I'll play it for you in my bedroom.
Thank you. Another thing,
thank you.
The other thing I imagine is like, oh, I feel like he likes these songs because he likes... He picks up his old guitar and he Googles girls' album notes and then starts tickling some strings.
I can play the shit out of the first song.
Yeah, I bet you could.
But you say that every album. You're like, you like this because you can play it.
It's true, though.
Yeah, there's something to that, sure.
But this album made me feel like, oh, we weren't that far off from creating our own album. If this is this... this is the gold standard.
Well, okay, that's what I...
Especially towards the end. You hear some of these songs at the end. It's like, Matt could have wrote these lyrics. Matt has written lyrics like this.
Yeah, that's another... I'm glad you brought that up. Whenever I think about writing my own songs,
yeah,
I look at this as inspiration.
Yeah.
Because it just seems like it was two guys and a girl in a pizza place.
Right.
And, yeah, just simple, catchy
songs. Like, yeah, that song that Matt wrote that we actually did... wasn't any more or less dynamic than any of this stuff. So it's like, oh, it is totally doable.
Who has the publishing to that song, by the way? Because I haven't seen any residuals.
Ryan.
That's why.
Why'd you burn that bridge?
He's in the mix. I just heard from him.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And I haven't written any of my own songs yet because I'm not...
See,
as
that's
talented
the key. The key isn't the content; it's that they decided to do it and you didn't. Mm. But your stuff is actually probably similar to theirs. It's no better or worse. That's the key, dude.
I can't sing like Elvis Costello / Randy Newman.
That's okay.
I would never even... It wouldn't dawn on me to play like the Beach Boys.
Do you like the Beach Boys?
Yeah.
Okay.
They are...
better than Beatles? Ooh.
Who?
Right.
Oh, the band from Someday.
Yeah.
Is that the movie?
Yeah.
Did you ever watch that movie about...
Yeah, you're living that movie.
Brian Wilson, John Cusack, Paul Dano.
Brian Wilson?
I forgot what it was called.
Rudy?
It was like a biopic.
Brian's song.
No. Searching for Brian Wilson. It was Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys. He plays chess.
Isn't there some side band called Animal Collective? Pets?
They made an album called Pet Sounds, I think.
The Pet Sounds.
And that was... They've done a lot like for music innovation.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Right.
I can't do any of that. These guys did a
but
little
see,
bit of it.
That's the argument I'm trying to make. Is not that your shit's worse than girls. Is that they decided to do it and you didn't. And I think that's how the creative process works for a lot of things, not just music. Is people it's
just
this,
do it?
Yeah, the gold standard isn't who's better or worse. It's who decides to do it and who doesn't.
I don't know. I think you got to have talent.
Yeah, obviously that will come into play, but that is the first major hurdle.
We did write that song in like literally 2 minutes.
Exactly, dude. And was it catchy? It was, dude.
Yeah, there's... How can I explain this without... There were hot chicks dancing.
Exactly, dude.
Not
maybe
that, ironically, but right, we can...
It wasn't that difficult. It's the harder part is putting that shit out there and having people be like, yeah, okay, I'm going to judge this now and think it's shitty. Because that's the case for anything. Everyone thinks something is shitty that...
Look how many people I recommended this beautiful Quentin Tarantino movie to, and they were just like,
exactly. The difference is Quentin Tarantino though, don't give a shit.
Oh, he's on his jet ski right now. that has a radio on it. So he can blast tunes on the waves.
Exactly.
You got
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Okay, well, I feel good about all that, because what you told me to do was do it. Because I am thinking about quitting the business, and we'll go
carpentry. We'll go. What's coming up next?
Nothing. I'm
just
going to live.
Wilt?
I'm going to take my
a
money
vagabond?
That I made. Yeah.
Are you leaving LA?
I don't know.
What? Don't do this to me.
But I left for 5 months though, and it seemed to go okay.
No, but
everyone was fine.
Your next door neighbor is like, huh, how have you been? They didn't even know you had left.
Oh, I was going to ask you, if I had asked, okay, so I text you, and I'm like, hey, I'm in Buffalo.
You're gonna ask me to go to Buffalo?
Go. Can you go check on my hermit crabs?
Yeah, I
I'm
did.
I'm gonna send you the key.
I told you. I checked on them.
No, but real talk. Would you come over? You're too busy.
To come over to check on your place?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. But you never asked me.
Well, I had someone.
Ouch.
All right, well, I'll remember
Who?
This if I go out of town.
Who is this person?
I'm going to tell you off air. They came in, they got my mail, and they unplugged my refrigerator.
Wow.
Yep.
I'm a little offended. I guess I'll be less offended once you tell me the person. I'm like, oh, that makes sense.
So,
what does that matter? Like,
I guess I'm using this as
you're
a
saying you hope you have people that would do that for you?
No, I wanted to know if you would do it, and I'm asking you now.
Oh, because you're planning on leaving again, and now you need me to
no,
do it?
I just wanted to find out.
I mean, obviously, the biggest hurdle is that you live fucking far from me, so that's a little annoying.
I live, like, 22. Come down on a Sunday night at, like, 10. You and your wife are watching Gilmore Girls. Just say, hey, can you pause it? I have to do something. You're right. This is a bad idea. Okay, so in conclusion, thank me for the gift I gave you 5 months ago.
Sure.
Thank you for the gift of positive reinforcement of saying that I might be able to write a song as good
no,
as...
No, I'm not saying might.
As good as Old Town Road by Nine Inch Nails.
100%. Dude, he talks about how you made that song.
What does he say?
And it's pretty straightforward. He was just like, I need a song that's short, that's catchy. And then he heard something that he thought was cool and then just riffed off that in his backyard.
You ever watch those videos on YouTube, how to write a whatever song in 3 minutes? And they do it?
Yeah, he doesn't sit there and go, how does this make me feel? Like, what does this mean? Oh. He didn't overthink any of it. He just did it. And then obviously it's a bit of a lottery thing where he got lucky that it became that big.
I have chords, but I don't know what vocal melody to put over them. Can you find someone and then produce the track for me? I'm just not asking a lot.
Yeah.
All right. There we go. I just locked in a producer.
Boom.
I will see the Joker. What are you teasing and pleasing anything? What do we got next week?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
On season 2.
Am I not allowed to say Evil Empire? Because then you're just going to give me shit for it.
No, you can say whatever you want. This is why the podcast was created. So you can
I'm going to go with space. Forest Hills Drive.
Forest Hills Drive.
Forest Hills Drive by Hills Drive. Jermaine
Jackson
Cole. A.K.A.
Oh, J. Cole.
J. Cole.
You talked about this. You threatened to, you threatened this one.
I did?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
I think, wasn't, yeah, this has been for like a year in the making. We've been doing this for over 2 years.
It's a good album.
Kind of.
Cool.
Are we talking to each other? All right, that's a sign that we should stop. Thank you for listening. If anyone did, do you have anything to say?
Email us at wdyltpod@gmail.com.
Bye.